Is climate change going to force you to move? You might not think so, but as a warming planet brings wildfires, floods, extreme heat, and droughts, disruption and migration are expected to be widespread. Abraham Lustgarten maps out what this will look like in his new book, On the Move: The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America. Abraham is a staff writer for the investigative news outlet ProPublica, and his work has appeared in The New York Times, The Atlantic, Wired, Scientific American, Discovery Channel, and PBS Frontline. Here he is to share five big ideas from his book.
I'm Abraham Lustgarten, and I'm an investigative reporter with ProPublica, often working with The New York Times, and I write about how people are adapting to climate change. And I'm the author of On the Move: The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America. In 2018, I began a project to look at how climate change would change where people live. I traveled around the world investigating this question and looking at the best UN modeling and state-of-the-art science, focusing on places like the North African Sahel, South Asia, and Central America. I used proprietary climate and sociological and economic data and analysis that have never been printed before. And through the course of all of that research, my attention turned back here, to home, to the United States. While I was writing these articles, which appeared in the New York Times, California was enduring a particularly disastrous wildfire season, and we were living in danger or amongst smoke. It focused my attention on how Americans will also become climate migrants, and on questions about how that will ultimately shape this country's culture, economy, and its centers of population. And that is what this book is about: a transformed America in the face of warming and the economic change that is accompanying it. Today I'm going to share with you five key insights from the book. Insight number one: there is a climate niche for human habitat, and almost all of us are being displaced from it. Throughout history, people have always moved in response to their climate, but now is different. Climate change is happening faster than any previous change. The population of the planet is unfathomably larger. 200 million people inhabited the Earth when Mayan civilization collapsed. There were 4 billion people by 1980. There could be 9 to 12 billion people by the end of the century. So I set out to investigate how many people might move, when, and to where, to tell the story of the next great human migration. There is an optimal temperature range for human life on this planet, a climate niche, and it is shifting toward the poles. Research suggests between one-third and one-half of humanity, or 2 to 6 billion people, will face degrading climate conditions that will force them to consider migrating as a solution, including about 160 million Americans. In 2020, only 1% of the land area on the planet was too hot for traditional civilization. By 2070, 19% of the Earth's land surface could be outside of those parameters that have supported human life for the past 6,000 years. There is no place in America where we won't also have to deal with climate change. It is inescapable, and large numbers of Americans are beginning to migrate too. For the past several hundred years, the climatic sweet spot in the U.S. has more or less straddled the middle of this country, keeping the plains fertile, the southeast verdant. But within the next 5 decades, that sweet spot is forecast to shift sharply northward, hovering over the northern Midwest and Chicago. In a more extreme warming scenario, it moves all the way to the border of Canada and eventually to the other side of it. Climate models and migration data suggest that between 13 and 160 million people, up to half of all Americans, will face the kind of degrading environment that has driven historical climate-influenced migrations. At least 13 million Americans will be displaced by coastal flooding alone. This is a book about sweeping change in the shape and location of communities across America, with vast implications for its politics and its economy. Insight number two: what we do next makes a huge difference. The same data that suggests half of humanity will fall out of the climate niche also shows how aggressive policies to cut emissions now will sharply lower the number of people displaced by warming. By limiting global average temperature increases to 1.5 degrees Celsius from the 2.7 degrees Celsius we are now tracking towards, the number of global climate migrants could be reduced by half, and the number exposed to extreme heat reduced fivefold, from 22% to just 5% of the people on the planet. For the U.S., too, there is both ample opportunity to steer what happens and to seize on the change that is going to happen as tens of millions of people move into cities and repopulate northern regions that passed their peaks decades ago. Past migrations out of the South or away from the Dust Bowl transformed American culture, our cities, our music, arts, and literature, and sports, everything. Success in the next one requires planning, investment, anticipation, and equity. It will demand affordable housing and infrastructure and new schools, but it can lead to new jobs, entrepreneurship, and booming growth as these things are built out. Large-scale climate-driven migration within the United States is only bad news if it is ignored. Planning for it, capitalizing on it, adjusting to it with foresight can make the United States a stronger place full of opportunity in a warmer world, and those who do will come out ahead. In the U.S., we now have a taste of the consequences of climate change and also of the progress that can be made. The laws and pledges made so far demonstrate that while they are not painless, they are possible, and they have an effect. 80% of new energy installation is renewable, for instance, and the electric vehicle battery market is now taking off in the U.S. Evidence suggests electrifying home appliances and autos with current technology already on the market could cut U.S. emissions enough to reach these global goals. And we all stand to benefit. The U.S. government estimates that holding global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius would also sharply reduce the economic fallout of climate change, allowing the U.S. GDP to grow between 1 and 4% faster than it otherwise might over the next several decades. Insight number three, climate migration will be an economic decision, not an environmental one. Americans will ultimately respond to environmental change when it shows up as economic change. We are talking about a slow-moving change that will accelerate and unfold over decades, but we can see the signs now. Americans increasingly face greater personal financial risk as climate change costs soar and insurance and other policy subsidies go away. This is changing the perception of climate change from a cultural political issue to a household economics issue. And that shift will transform where people choose to live. Farm production in the United States has already dropped by more than 12% since 1961 because of warming. Scientists estimate that by 2050, Dust Bowl era yields will become the new norm across the Great Plains, and in Texas could drop by 90%. By 2080, crop failure will spread to more than 1,900 U.S. counties, representing more than half the country. Many places will become unfarmable, and the livelihoods they make possible will disappear. Coastal flooding is already 10 times more common than it was in 1960. The Union of Concerned Scientists estimates that more than 500,000 more Americans could see their homes and streets flood at least every other week before their current 30-year mortgages are paid off. Across the country, Americans are facing suddenly unaffordable insurance premiums for flooding, wind, and wildfires, or they're losing that coverage altogether. The cost of energy and the demand for it is also shifting. Consider this. For more than 100 years, only 3 U.S. cities topped 105 degrees for more than a month out of the year. By the second half of this century, 152 American cities will sustain such temperatures, requiring air conditioning in homes and factories. As household utility bills skyrocket, people will find reason to move or opportunities to save elsewhere. In these ways and others, warming is projected to drive economic costs across large parts of the U.S., which will drive migration. 867 counties are estimated to see economic damages greater than $1 million each year, directly due to climate change, by 2040. Nationally, GDP will be reduced by 1.2% for every degree of future warming, costing $8.4 trillion each decade by mid-century. Insight number four. Subsidies in the U.S. have made dangerous places seem safer than they actually are. Do you ever wonder why Americans live in the places they do? I mean, we've known about disastrous hurricanes and sea level rise for decades now, and yet the population of South Florida, the most at-risk part, has grown tenfold. And how could it be, after 5 straight years of headlines about record-breaking strings of 115-degree weather, so hot that airplanes can't take off, that Phoenix, Arizona remains one of the fastest-growing cities in America? These are, in fact, dangerous places to live, with potentially fiscally disastrous consequences. But Americans have moved to these places and remained blind to the risk to their savings and their security and their safety because a whole host of subsidies and policies have worked to hide the true costs and to steer us there. In Florida, for example, after Hurricane Andrew wiped tens of thousands of properties off the map in 1992, the free market for insurance collapsed and companies stopped offering policies. In answer, and out of fear that people would move away from the state of Florida created its own subsidized public plan and not only guaranteed insurance to anyone who wanted it, but promised to discount it below market rates. Now 30 states have similarly subsidized plans, from Massachusetts to California, and they hold trillions of dollars in liabilities that their citizens can be assessed for as disasters mount. The cost and availability of insurance is an indispensable signal. Undoubtedly, it's one of the most explicit ways that anyone who takes out a mortgage confronts the sustainability of their environment and chooses where to live. Subsidizing that insurance distorts the perception of the real risk that people face, and it shifts the fiscal responsibility broadly onto the shoulders of the public and of taxpayers. The same can be said about the way that the federal government has piped the Colorado River over mountain ranges and hundreds of miles to deliver water into the heart of the desert Southwest, where people pay less to use it than they do in Wisconsin. Or about the ways that the U.S. Department of Agriculture pays farmers income subsidies to keep growing water-intensive crops like cotton in the middle of the Sonoran Desert. Americans have gravitated toward some of the country's most dangerous environments because these government-subsidized insurance schemes and incentives steered them there. 9 out of 10 of the fastest-growing regions in the country are the places most at risk from climate impacts. And as those programs begin to end, Americans are facing greater personal financial risk for remaining in dangerous places, and they are now recalibrating those decisions. Insight number 5. This is a highly personal dilemma. Not a day goes by that I do not dwell personally on the very unresolved questions of how to navigate this seismic change. But as I share in the book, I have not concluded, yet, that I need to move. While a part of this book is about the science, another part is about the human dilemma and the painful reckoning that goes along with deciding how and where to live in the future. That's the universal part of this story, the part that every single American is going to face regardless of their politics and regardless of whether they think they might move or they know that they never will. My hope is that therein lies its value, that it can help all of us make sense of what we see changing around us, not by preaching what people should do, but by naming that change for what it is and what it means and empowering each of us to decide for ourselves. We all need a guidebook of sorts for how to recognize slow-moving, imperceptible change. Heat is degrading crop yields, which is eroding the economy across the farm belt. What does that look like? What does experiencing that change feel like? Those are questions I try to answer, and it's not meant to be scary. It's meant to help you understand the context and implications of what's unfolding in your life and give you signposts for what you're going to do about it. Because the unfortunate truth is that we are all going to have to face these questions. Most people may never move, but there are things that you and your community will have to do so that you won't ever have to. You may want to invest. This is a conversation that will begin to suggest how and where. You may want to become an activist. This will show you who needs help and what issues might benefit from your contributions. You might not think that small changes matter. This book is meant to show you the difference in results between small change and big change. And you might wish to ignore climate change in its entirety. This book will show you why you can't, but that facing it might not mean what you think. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Abram. That was 5 big ideas from On the Move, The Overheating Earth and the Uprooting of America by Abram Lustgarten. You might also like our book bite for The Great Displacement, Climate Change and the Next American Migration by Jake Biddle. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.